Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that remembered to recycle for Sustainability Week. DeFi, how are you going?
I'm doing all right. I had a particularly good, 24 hours in Pokemon Go with shinies. It was not the Heracross event. I wanted another shiny Heracross. I did not get one, so that was a little frustrating. But, however,
yes,
I had... Within a day, I did the catch challenges. One of them, you had to catch a Ninkata and then evolve it to a Ninjask.
Yep.
And then you get a Shedinja out of it, and that was shiny for me. So that was cool.
Shiny Shedinja, wow.
And that's a rare one.
That is rare.
Because you can't get that from shiny Ninkata.
No.
You have to catch it as a Shedinja, and that's incredibly rare. It's very underwhelming. It's just a slightly paler bug. And then in Go Battle League that day, I got a shiny Vullaby, which was my first of those. So that was neat. I've never caught a shiny Vullaby before.
That one's fairly similar too, is it?
Kinda. It is pretty similar. It's like face... It looks like it was sunburned in the face, but the rest of it's kind of a little darker, I think, in color. But again, it's pretty similar.
Still cool.
Yep. And then right away the next morning, I had a shiny Ninkata in the yard. So I've really enjoyed this bug out event. And I've been playing Go Battle League because I was able to get a shiny out of it. And that was really neat. So not necessarily some of the shinies I wanted. I went out for that whole Heracross day. I bought the ticket, so I did 15 Heracross raids and didn't get a shiny or a hundo or anything. But
that sucks.
Yeah, but I had fun. I was with my raid group in town, so that was really lovely. We got to hang out. We stopped in the middle, and I got a smoothie. We went to a local coffee place that also does ice cream and smoothies, and we took a little break. And then we went back because now when the raids are only an hour long, you can kind of stay in the same area and just circle these handful of gyms, and then they reset and you can just kind of circle them again. Same with raid hour now, which is really nice. Now for raid hour, the raids last half an hour.
Yeah, I think that's good. Nice and practical.
It is, because now instead of having to try to go all over, because I'm in a pretty rural area, instead of having to try to find all these raids to do for an hour, and they're not necessarily on all the gyms, some of the gyms will still have one or three star raids. We can just do this little loop and then it's all going to reset in an hour or in half an hour. That was a big quality of life improvement, I think, for rural players that don't have all the gyms in the world. Kind of like me.
And so you said you've been doing some GBL. How's that been going?
I have. So I've actually really enjoyed the Jungle Cup. I was climbing. I actually hit 2400s. I was really close to getting expert with the team of Clodsire, Mantine, and Vigoroth.
Mm-hmm.
I like Clodsire a lot as a neutral Pokemon in the lead, because really the only thing that puts a hard stop to Clodsire are Mud Boys, and then you just switch out into Vigoroth, and then you can hopefully win with Mantine in the end. And I was doing so well, and then it just stopped working. I hopped on stream one day, and I had a 1-4, 2-3, 1-4. I just tanked all the way back down into the 2200s, and... That it was three sets, and I'm like, you know what? this isn't working. I'm going to put the game down. We're going to play a video game on my Nintendo Switch. I'm going to stream that for like half an hour. So a different kind of like punishing game because it's a platformer. It's called Celeste. So it's kind of like platformers, the kind of game that's like Mario, like you jump and jump and jump and jump, and then maybe you hit a wall and die, and then you jump and then you have to start over.
I wonder if that was what they said in the pitch meeting.
Yep. That's what platformers are, essentially. Like, you solve the puzzle, you have to time things and get things just right. And then if you die, you have to start back at the beginning of the level. So I did that, put the game down, took a healthy little break from the game, which is important. I will emphasize that all the time. If you're finding yourself just like tanking and having a bad time, you can stop. It's a beautiful thing. Then I saw that Shadow Mimikyu posted that he had hit legend. Shadow Mimikyu is a really talented battler also in Wisconsin. And I asked him about his team. And it is a Skarmory lead with Diggersby and Quagsire. And I'm having much more fun with that. Because again,
Diggersby is interesting.
I love Diggersby, so that makes me really happy. Diggersby on Quick Attack is so much fun. And again, there's not a ton. Like, even Diggersby can like win, has win conditions against like a Vigoroth, like a counter user.
Yeah.
So I like it a lot. Quagsire is fun. It can do a lot of damage. I love being able to get to that Aqua Tail in 4. Like, that is wild to be able to get to a move that fast.
Regular or Shadow Quag?
Fish. What do you think I'm running?
Oh, sorry. Yep, sorry. I forgot who I was talking to for a second.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter what Shadow Mimikyu was running. He was definitely running a Shadow. Mine is not. So, yeah, having a really good time with that. And yeah, Skarmory is a really good lead because it's neutral into a lot of things except like a Lantern. And I'll say it again. Most people don't put Lantern in the lead. Like, most of the time when people play Lantern, it's not in the lead. It's like in the back, or it's like a safe swap. So Skarmory's been pretty good. I had a really ugly set where I swear it was just like the algorithm enjoyers would love this because it was just Steelix. Like, it was Steelix leads for like a whole set. And I'm like, what is happening?
Stop it.
I don't want it. Then it was fine because I would like swap. It was bad because I'd swap into like Diggersby, and then they'd swap in a counter swap like an Altaria, and I'd be like in misery. But that's a bad scenario that can happen. But overall, my sets have been positive, which is good. I think I went like 4-1-3-2-2-3, and then I think I had another 3-2. Like, it's been overall really good.
Okay, good. I've seen a few of those, like, essentially you call them triple dragon because you're like, you got Steelix with Dragon Tail, and then you got two actual dragons in the back. Like, those are nasty.
Mm-hmm. Dragon is really powerful when you don't have a lot of like ice or fairies or dragons to counter it. Like, it's just a lot of oppressive neutral damage.
Yeah. Maybe I should consider Altaria. I mean, the team I'm using at the moment is doing pretty well. So I actually didn't update last week on my progress. I kind of had a similar thing happen as the week before where I like rose a lot and then dropped a lot. Like, my swings have been wild this season. I did manage to, at the beginning of Jungle Cup, running a Pelipper lead, I got up to like almost 2,700.
Ooh.
So I finally, like, you know, reached my peak from really early in the season and then like surpassed it. But then again, just dropped so much. Like, I got into the 2300s again, over the course of the cup. But now I found a team that is gaining me back some points, and that is the Vigoroth lead with Mandibuzz as a safe swap and Hisuian Electrode.
Ooh.
Because, yeah,
the Hisuian Electrode is fun.
It is. And, like, it's It's I'm not the first person to say this. Like, if Hisuian Electrode had Volt Switch, it would be very good. It's one of those Pokemon with a unique typing that really core breaks a lot of other very common Pokemon. So, like, another example would be Gligar, where it's like a flyer that does all the things that flying type Pokemon does, but because of its ground type, it doesn't care about electrics, it doesn't care about rocks. The only problem it has is those ice Pokemon again. And then you've got Skarmory, which is the opposite. It's like it's a flyer and does all the flyery things, but it doesn't care about ices because of that steel typing. So that kind of thing applies to Hisuian Electrode, where it's like a grass type, or it's an electric type but doesn't care about mud boys, or it's like a grass type that can take out a lot of flyers. So it's like not as good as it could be with Volt Switch, but even with Thundershock, like it's doing some good work. Because what are all the Pokemon that are relevant in this cup? You got Mantine, you've got Quagsire, you've got Lantern, you've got Skarmory. Like a lot of the like Talonflame, Steelix, you don't want to see.
No, so I was gonna say Steelix has been the bane of my existence.
But Mandibuzz actually does quite well into Steelix, because the Steelixes are normally running like Psychic Fangs and Crunch, which, you know, Psychic Fangs is not doing anything at all to a Mandibuzz, and Crunch does barely anything as well. Sometimes you see a Breaking Swipe Steelix, and that's a little bit harder to contend with, but you still do very, very well. It also generally beats Skarmory, generally. So if you can't, like, match the Hisuian Electrode into it, then you've got that option there. And, of course, you know, Vigoroth lead. It's as safe as you can get. So, yeah, I've been climbing back a little bit. I am just below 20. I did hit above 2,500, then dropped just below. I am positive on this set, though, so I'm looking to get back above 2,500 and kind of see if I can reach that peak again.
Yep, it's a roller coaster sometimes.
Oh, so much. Like, and this season more than others for me, I found. Just dropping and rising hundreds of points a day.
Yep, I'm just having a slow start, kind of like, which is a Pokemon ability, by the way. Slow start. that's me. I am a Regigigas, and I have slow starts. Because I'm having a hard time just getting into Go Battle League, but I'm trying to at least do now like maybe a set a day, but I have so much else going on. I'm preparing for Indy, so I'm scrimming a lot with my Show 6 team. So I'm not playing as much Go Battle League as maybe I would like to. I always like Legends the goal. If I don't hit it, I don't hit it. But I at least want to get those 500 wins, and I am not playing enough at this point to get
How far
there.
Along are you?
Not so we're halfway through the season and I am not halfway there. I'm not that far off. Like, I'm over 200, but I would want to be, like, as of recording on April 16th, I would want to be at 250 or more, and I'm not there yet. So I have work to do.
All right, well, keep it up. Well, no, don't keep it up. Do better.
Do better.
In the meantime, let us take a look at what is coming up in Go Battle League in the next few weeks. Starting from April 19th to the 26th, we have all three open leagues are back. Do you have any plans for that?
Probably open Great League, because I'm going to be able to utilize some of the Pokemon that I'm planning on running in my Show 6 roster. I can use them in open Great League. Maybe it won't be like the best team ever, but I'll be able to still get practice with those Pokemon.
I am probably going to go back to running the same team I was earlier in the last like Great League cycle, which was the Shadow Gator, Skeledirge, and Guzzlord, apparently a Zionic team. So I found out after starting to use it, really fun, like the Triple Jaws team.
Yes, we love our Bitey Boys.
Then from the 26th of April to the 3rd of May, Open Great League continues, as well as Master League Premier. It returns. We have rankings that are up on pvpoke.com, and the top 10 Shadow and regular Dragonite, Florges, Shadow and regular Gyarados, Annihilape, which was a good call, DeFi, Goodra, Shadow and regular Snorlax, Garchomp, Shadow and regular Feraligatr, Baxcalibur, and Skeledirge.
Also want to shout out Hisuian Avalug, which is good as well in, I think, just regular Master League. It's just kind of one of those weird spicy picks, which mm-hmm. is something really cool if you got a good one, like a Hundo during the Sinnoh Tour, because there was an opportunity to look for those. Also, Ursaluna. I love me some Ursaluna, and that is up there as well as an option. So lots and lots of different options here.
Have you been seeing any teams talked about?
Not yet. I just see a lot of Pokemon that I'm really excited for. I'm excited to build my Florges out. I'm excited to use, like, I have a Hundo Feraligatr. There's so much here that I want to dump Stardust into, and I have to make some wise choices because I don't have all the dust in the world. I blew a million of it and didn't get what I wanted, and it was sad, Fish. I was trying to get a Guzzlord trade. Yeah. Oh. So it was a one friendship trade.
You spent a million dust on that.
Yeah, she really wanted a shiny Mankey. She didn't have one. So when it's a one friendship trade and the other person doesn't have the shiny Dext, it's a million.
Wow.
And it didn't even go under. So I'm sad.
That is brutal.
I'm sad. I mean, I still have a couple million, but like...
Well, that's a third of your net worth, DeFi.
It's all right. We have some events coming up that we'll talk about soon where I can maybe get some Stardust recovery going on.
Just a quick one. I've talked before about how, like, I don't play for the shinies. Like, the shinies aren't something that particularly relevant to my gameplay. So I was... long time ago, I was out with a raid group with some people that I had never met before. It was actually during the days of Sylph when I used to be a Sylph guide, which was like a volunteer that basically dedicates themselves to helping people in their local area. So I had joined this new raid group just for 1 week, just so I could meet local players. And there was this one young girl, like maybe 5 years old, who wanted to see my shiny collection. And so I showed her and she was looking through it and she was like really, really impressed. And she's like, oh, you've got Clefable. That's my favorite. And I'm like, well, do you want that Clefable? She's like, of course she did. So, because it was unregistered and because we weren't friends, that did cost me, it must have been a million. Mm-hmm. Surely I wouldn't have spent a million dust on that. No, there must have been other circumstances that I'm forgetting. But I was talking to her dad afterwards, and I'm like, yeah, so now she's got my shiny Clefable, and I've spent a lot of my Stardust, but at least I've got a Zubat now. And he's like, you're a good man.
Yep, I do that with my best friend's kid. Like, he's seven. Like, of course I'm going to trade him whatever he wants. And then, so I was like, what do you want? I'm like, you see that Pidgey right there on the screen? You can trade me that Pidgey. Catch that Pidgey. And you can, I'll take that exact one.
It's fun seeing, like, making those little kids' days.
Yes, it is. It is very good to share the wealth.
So moving on to the next week in GBL, we've got May 3rd to May 10th is Open Ultra League and Great League Remix. Now, we don't have the rankings up for Great League Remix yet, which means Speculation Station! We will take a look at the bans and kind of guess at what might be remaining. We've got Alolan Sandslash, Wigglytuff, Lickitung, Lantern, Azumarill, Umbreon, Skarmory, Vigoroth, Medicham, Whiscash, Altaria, Redesteel, Defense Form Deoxys, Bastiodon, Galarian Stunfisk, Talonflame, Trevenant, Chargeabug, Skeledirge, and Clodsire. And DeFi, one thing stands out to me like a sore thumb as like something that's not there and would absolutely be there if it was in the game last season. Can you think of what it would be?
Annihilate.
Yeah, 100%. There is going to be so much Annihilate around. I reckon that will be number one with a bullet.
Yeah, I'm looking. Gligar isn't on here, so that might come in as maybe an like something that might try to counter.
Mm-hmm. Mantine and Cresselia are also pretty darn good Annihilate counters. So, like, yeah, it's three biggest counters haven't been banned. I'm surprised Cresselia is not on the list, actually.
Guzzlord's not on the list, if I can ever get one. But that'll be good. That'll be...
I can still use my regular Great League team, then.
Yep. Poor Metacham.
It's like it's been pushed out of the meta and then specifically banned anyway from this one.
Yep. Trying to think what else is still... Like, could Serperior do okay with Alolan Sandslash out?
Maybe? Yeah, yeah. Was Skarmory banned? Yeah, Skarmory's banned. So, I mean, there's not
banned,
much...
So there's some, like... Banned? Yeah.
There's not much left for Skeletish to fear. Talonflame, is that banned? I don't see...
Yes.
Yeah, Talonflame's here, yeah. Wow. Rise of the grass types.
Maybe. We might see a grass meta.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other, like... Pelipper's not on this list. Pelipper's pretty good. That could counter something like a Gligar, something like an Annihilate.
I prefer Mantine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pelipper's better with the baiting game. Like, you can overcome some bad matchups a little better because of the really low energy weather ball and then that new Hurricane.
Yep. Mantine's definitely much more consistent.
Yeah.
Where I think Pelipper's a little more fun to play. But
yep. Agreed.
Yeah, there's a lot that could definitely have potential here during the Great League remix. I definitely foresee Annihilate and Gligar being popular, and then maybe grass type Pokemon having a resurgence with that Altaria, that Skarmory, and that Talonflame out.
Although the Gligar does serve as a very good grass counter itself. Not the best, especially the shadow version, which, like, it can't take a Frenzy Plant from, like, a Venusaur, for example. Or really the Serperior as well, even though it's not a very high-attack Pokemon. Like, I think a Frenzy Plant from Serperior, like, puts it in farmable range with Vine Whips. Like, so not pretty. So, like, the main grass counter won't be a hard grass counter.
All right. And we've got, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where the rankings come out. And the rankings don't necessarily tell the whole story. We might end up seeing some really different stuff in Great League Remix, some creative things come out. We could see Go-Goat. Everybody's running Go-Goat. Everyone's running Shadow Pidgeot after this weekend. Jeez. Everyone will be running Shadow Pidgeot after this weekend.
Do you want to quickly run through the Ultra League top 10?
Sure. If Great League Remix isn't your thing, you're like, hey, all those 20 Pokemon are what I have built. I don't want to make anything new. You could do Open Ultra League. You could run an XL Registeel, Shadow or Regular. Same with for Alligator. Shadow and Regular work just fine. Giratine, Altered. And XL Poliwrath comes in next. Zygarde. Then XL Pidgeot, both the Shadow and the Regular work here in Ultra League. Cresselia, XL Mandibuzz, Virizion, and Tapu Fini, rounding out that top 10 species list. So lots of different things you can run in Open Ultra League.
One more thing to mention is that on May 4th to 5th, we have Go Battle Weekend. So this is, kind of like another EUIC event, but it makes me think that we've had Go Battle Weekend for this season, but no, that was just the EUIC event. So Go Battle Weekend happening over 2 days, and you get 20 sets each of those days for a total of 100 battles per day. There is some free research that you can claim that gives you Hala shoes as a reward, and you get 4x Stardust from your wins.
Maybe that's when I'll get all my battles done.
Yeah, you could do that. Just set aside a weekend.
Oh, but I'm going to be in Indy. We're going to talk about this shortly. It's Indianapolis. Shoot. I can't get my battle son well then. GG.
All right, let's move on. It's our in-game event section. So just a reminder that Bellsprout Community Day is happening on Saturday, April 20th from 2 to 5 p.m. local time. Triple Stardust, which is always like, I feel like we haven't had a Triple Stardust one in a while.
Yes, Bellsprout Community Day is going to be a Stardust recovery event for me. Initially, I heard Bellsprout and I was like, not that exciting. I have the shiny line and we discussed it earlier, like Magical Leaf. In my opinion, I think it's going to be a side grade at best to Razor Leaf. Time will tell. We'll find out in practice. But it's not something that I was like, oh, I got to get this. And then I saw it was Triple Dust. And I will be out catching the flower Pokemon, Bellsprout. Weeping Bell, as well as Victory Bell, share that they are the Flycatcher Pokemon. I will be out catching all of them because I want Triple Dust.
Yeah, 100%. The other event we have to talk about is Sustainability Week, which I believe the information that we have for this is only very recently released as of this recording. Not a lot here, and by not a lot, I mean stuff all. We have, I mean, some great shinies and a lot of stuff. I mean, that. Speaking of Stardust, like there are a lot of Pokemon that are really hot on the Stardust. Combee, Trubbish, and Fungus all award extra Stardust if you catch them. The only meta-relevant Pokemon that is available in this event is Drillbur for an Excadrill for Master League. And what is, what's more, is that they're all coming out of eggs. We, again, as of this recording, maybe more info will be released later, but as of this recording, no spawns, no raids, it's just eggs.
Which I'm not a fan of because I can't farm Stardust that way. But yeah. I can hatch a bunch of 2K eggs. I will definitely try to do as many field research tasks as I can because if three of the five Pokemon available, if it's Combee, Trubbish, Fungus, Drillbur, and Binacle, three of them give bonus dust, definitely feels worth going out and trying to get some of those tasks done and get a little bit of extra dust on the way.
So good luck with Sustainability Week. Let's move on to our Play Pokemon section. We had three Play Pokemon events during the last weekend. First up, we had Orlando DeFi. What was your experience with Orlando? You want to give us a recap of how that went?
Sure. I watched quite a bit of the Orlando regionals this weekend. I did my best. It was also, I'm going to say it was very nice outside. We had one of those rare nice days in April, so I enjoyed my time outside. But I caught as many battles as I could. And you're going to notice, I'm going to kind of spoil the ending here. We did not get a new regional champion. We did not add a new face to the list of regional champions in North America. Dunebug 97 wins another regional, being a three-time regional champion in the same season. But he did it with a remarkable choice, not a meme choice, like actually a Pokemon. He said, like, I think this is good. I think this will do well. And he ran a Shadow Pidgeot and won the tournament with it.
I mean, we all knew that was good, right?
In this specific meta, I don't know. Like, he was, I mean, we've always known Pidgeot, like, has play, but in a meta that's, like, full of Skarmory, if you look at the Orlando Regional, you look at the top 16, because there were 16 trainers, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 Skarmory out of 16. Mm. And also an Alolan Sandslash is in there. So
it is in Dunebug's team.
No. Is in, well, it's on Dunebug's team, the Shadow, but like someone else is running Alolan Sandslash. There's enough that like you would think Pidgeot wouldn't work because the predominant flyer is this just isn't it, but he just did phenomenal this weekend. The Dunebug versus House Stark match for me was the most hype matchup. I really thought House Stark was going to take it, but Dune just decimating people, O2'd House Stark. There was a very funny moment. I'm sure you've noticed, Fish. I'm sure the listeners have noticed if they've been playing PvP lately, is there's an error with things like when there's an attack drop, like the text for certain things, the text for attacks shows up at weird times. There's a very, very good GIF, and I'll send it to you, Fish, so you can appreciate it with me in real time.
Oh, you know what? I've seen that one.
You've seen it?
I have, yes.
The lantern used Moonblast.
Yeah. And now Stark just being like, huh?
Just kind of...
Wait, what?
It's very good. That was like my favorite part of the tournament, I'm not going to lie.
Just looking around like, am I being punked here?
Yeah, is this a prank? I'm definitely on camera. So Doonbug, 2-0's House Stark, who House Stark had a really fun team with the Guzzlord, the Shadow Polywrath, had some fun stuff. House Stark ended up taking fourth place. And then Doonbug took on J-Mills, J-Mills being only the second trainer to take even just a game off of Doonbug, because Doonbug was this dominant. But then J-Mills was knocked down to the loser's final where he played Beach. And then Beach came out victorious there, and Doonbug also, again, like Doonbug coming in from the winner side of the bracket. Beach got a game off of him too. Only three trainers did. It was J-Mills, Doonbug, and then Mama Climbs actually early on took a game off of Doonbug, which was really awesome. I asked her about her games, and she said like they were really close. Like the first two, like the one of them she won, and the middle game was very close. So definitely goes to show how skilled Mama Climbs is. But again, Doon just dropping three battles during the entire tournament.
Yeah.
This was, again, a very stacked tournament. Jajan, Iomero, Abhinav, Shadow Brady, Valor Ash. Just tons of really, really talented people besides the ones I've already mentioned. Lots of former regional champions. But again, Doon just wipes through them all. So the last, if you kind of look at the regional winners recently, it's just been Doon and Lyle kind of alternating. And I mean, Lyle's going to be in Indy. So...
it's the matchup we're all waiting for.
Well, Doon's not going to go to Indy.
Oh, okay.
Doon's not competing again until
NAIC. So we'll still be waiting.
Yep, we're still waiting. That's kind of what everyone wants to see is like, well, what's going to happen when these two play each other? But it is just kind of crazy. Like, Doon won San Antonio, Abhinav won Portland, Lyle won Charlotte, Doon won Knoxville, Lyle won Vancouver, Doon won Orlando. Like, just... they're alternating every other, and Lyle is definitely my favorite to win Indianapolis because he's Lyle. I don't think either of them are competing in LA though, so I'm curious who's gonna take that one.
Like, yeah, you're right in that I don't go on socials very much, but I do occasionally jump on there. I have seen some conversation about Australia's Jakubovic being thrown in there as well. Like, what's going to happen when he's in the same tournament as those two as well? Because like he went back to back in Australia, and like the conversation, like he hasn't gotten quite as much attention because his battles aren't streamed, so people haven't had as much opportunity to see how like busted he is. But people who have battled him have been talking about like, also don't forget about this guy, don't sleep on Jakubovic, because like when he's on his game, he's best in the world is what some people are saying. So those are the big three from what I'm seeing at the moment.
Also, don't count out LATAM as well. We don't always see a lot of Latin American battler stream, but Rargraf Zardy
doing their thing, being like, yeah, we'll get our time.
But Rargraf Zardy, like, we could see it could one of them be the one to topple Doon. We will have to see. I would love to see a Lyle versus Doon matchup. I think that would be very, very fun to watch.
And then, you know, there's like, has Inadequance hasn't played any other tournaments since his win, right? In where was it again? It was it Stuttgart or no?
I think Stuttgart, right?
Maybe. But like Inadequance, the conversation around his win was like, that was like some of the best play
Utrecht.
That people had
Utrecht.
Ever seen. Oh, Utrecht, right. So like Inadequance has got to be in that conversation as well. So there is a like a decent handful. Like if you're going to talk about like this person is in the driver's seat to win the world championship for 2024, like there's a few trainers you could have in that conversation, and yeah, I'd throw Inadequance in there as well.
Definitely. Also, just a lot of really good players like Pablo Andina, Statistan. There's so many good ones. I think it's just right now Dune definitely has a lot of people talking like the best in the world right now. But we'll find out at Worlds in August for sure.
Okay, Shadow Pidgeot. I feel like we've all been scared off of Pidgeot because of that steel weakness you talked about, right? Like, it doesn't have really anything against those steels, but like, that's not uncommon. Like, you've got Chargerbug, which like gets walled by Gligar, and yet Chargerbug still sees plenty of play. You've got like Whiscash gets walled by Altaria, but that still gets plenty of play. Like, I am surprised that it's so surprising especially the Shadow. The Shadow is so good. I'm going to give a shout out to someone in the Palutena community named Bandman Clayton, who has been running Pidgeot forever. And as soon as the Shadow version came in, he started running that one instead of the regular. And like he could attest to like how good the Pokemon has always been. I just thought that we all understood that it's a good Pokemon and were too scared to use it because of that steel weakness. Because they were just like, well, I mean, if you get a matchup against a Skarmory, you lose, so why run it?
Yeah.
Rant over.
Okay. And rant.
Do you agree? Or do you think it's like... Yeah, go on.
I don't know how many people other than Dune could have piloted it to that much success.
Valid.
I don't think it's bad. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I've never said it's bad.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else could have taken that particular tool and had that much success with it.
Running Aerialite Spray Bird, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Who needs Feather Dance?
Who needs Feather Dance these days? I think that's a factor as well. Like, before the Aerial Ace buff, the obvious moveset was Feather Dance Brave Bird, which made it, like, very difficult to run optimally. Because, like, sometimes you'd have to get that double debuff, sometimes you'd have to go for the Brave Bird. With Aerial Ace, it's easier to just bait, and the bait move does a bit of damage in itself, so, like, it's good for, like, low HP Pokemon as well. And then you've got that option of the Brave Bird, which is doing even more damage because it's Shadow. So I think with Aerial Ace now, it's become even better than it was before, and it's... With so many of these Pokemon, it just takes one trainer that has, like, the respect of the community to show that proof of concept. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, of course, yeah, this is great. Now that Doombug's done it, I think people are going to notice and realize, oh, yeah, right.
I don't know. Like, maybe. I think it's going to take a special person. I think even Dune mentioned, like, you want to have a really good, like, stat product one. Otherwise, okay. You, like, miss out on some matchups. So we will have to see, yeah, like, how predominant Shadow Pidgeot is going to be in the end. But again, there's not, just to wrap up, there's not a whole lot to say because Dune just put on a clinic and just toppled. Just with only three trainers being able to take even a game off of him.
I think good Pokemon are discovered. Like, the other example is, like, I think it was Hot Pocket, was the first one to notably run Superior. And everyone was like, whoa. And it became really popular for a while. I think that's what happens. Like, people who are at a certain level realize or discover the viability of certain Pokemon, and we kind of look to those people for cues, for direction in, like, these people shape the meta. Like, the meta is just as much determined by the strength of the Pokemon themselves as it is the strength of the trainers using them.
Sounds good to me. I definitely think we do. You notice a Pokemon more when it wins, when, like, an incredible trainer takes.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see if that's going to be the tale, if there's going to be Shadow Pidgeot everywhere in the next tournament. But first, we have to look to Perth, and I'm going to look to you to talk about Perth.
Disappointing for me again. 2-2, so, like, it started out just like it happened pretty much exactly the same as what happened in Melbourne. So I won my first two matches and then lost the next two and got fell one win short of getting any championship points, which is like, oh, that's a tear your hair out kind of stuff. The first trainer I faced was a guy called Digitor, and in both of that was a 2-0, and in both of those battles it was a hard called backline for me, so I ended up having Guzzlord in the back, and as soon as he saw the Guzzlord, he's like, oh no, not that, and then his Lickitung comes out and it's like, well, and then in the second game it was like he had Mandibuzz and Poliwrath, and I'd managed to keep, like, my Charger Bug hidden until then, so it just took both of them out, and I had Shields as well, so, like, just a solid team call there for both of those battles. The next trainer I faced in round two was Rocket Claire, and I went up to her before the battle, and I was like, because I faced her in Melbourne, and she was the person who sent me into the losers bracket in Melbourne. And so I went up to her before the battle and said, I hope it's okay. Just letting you know I'm going to win this time. Actually, like, later after I'd been knocked out myself, I went out to lunch and I checked the bracket and I noticed that she went on a tear after that. I'm sure you noticed as well. Like, she went 2-0 against every trainer after that, all the way up until, I think, the losers final or something like that. She, like, didn't drop a battle for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, she took, I believe, third in taking the loser's final versus They Love Jai.
Did she win that one against Jai?
No, They Love Jai moved on to be in the grand final with Rick Flareon.
Yeah, so until that loser's final matchup, she didn't drop another battle since then, which was crazy. So I won against her, then came up against Jai, actually. So Jai was the first person who beat me, and it was like, I almost got him, almost so close. Like, it was game three, and again, I had Charger Bug in the back. He had Mandibuzz and Registeel. And I was like, this is looking good for me. I should be able to take both. I had Shields in play. The Zap Cannon that the Registeel threw, it got the debuff, which, of course, happens more often than not. It's a, you know, 66% chance of happening. And because the Zap Cannon debuffed me, my Discharge didn't quite KO. It managed to get off another Zap Cannon, which put me into the red. And it meant that just an aerial ace from the Mandibuzz was able to take me out. If I'd gotten lucky and that first Zap Cannon hadn't debuffed, then I would have been able to take the Registeel out, still have, like, you know, just over half my health remaining, and be able to take out the Mandibuzz. Unfortunately, not to be. Then the next opponent I had was Mikey Morgs, who it's funny because last week we were talking about best trainers never to win a regional, and you mentioned Mikey Morgs, and I was like, well, I haven't actually battled him yet, so I can't speak to that. Well, now I have, and sure enough, he's good. It's interesting because he won the first battle. then he made a mistake in the second battle, which I was able to capitalize on and win. So, like, he probably should have won 2-0, but he kind of opened the door for me to take it out from under him with a third battle. Unfortunately, I kind of gave that win condition straight back to him in the third battle because, like, I had, what was it? It was Guzzlord and Skeledurge left. Skeledurge was on very, very low health to the point that I wasn't sure I could get off another Incinerate before the Skarmory could, before his Skarmory could steel wing me down. And I had Guzzlord, which was on most of its HP. I hadn't seen his third Pokemon yet. So he had Annihilate on his team, and I was thinking, like, when trying to work out what his third Pokemon might be, I was like, if it's Annihilate, I'm probably going to be in a lot of trouble. So, like, in a panic, I made a dumb switch to catch a Brave Bird. Made a dumb switch into the Guzzlord, and that allowed him to Brave Bird it, take out most of his HP, and then it ended up being Gligar in the back, and that it was able to just, like, wing attack both of my Pokemon down. So, unfortunately, just, like, a really big misplay there cost me that match and sent me home in 10th place.
Oof.
Yeah, top 8 got points. So disappointing. They Love Jai, as you said, went on to come second against Rick Flareon, who was the winner. I point out They Love Jai because that is Jai Loves Latinas, who I've talked about from the Pallettown community. So that was the first time I've met him in person. I want to give a shout out to him. I've scrimmed with him a few times. Very, very cool guy. And he's a young guy as well. I think he's like 17 or something, 16, 17. And we were talking about, like, how close he is to qualifying for Worlds. And he's like, oh, yeah, but I'm probably not going to go because I need to, like, use that money to buy a car.
Priorities.
Yeah, right. which we thought that was very cute. Funny story. There is a community member called Debbie Pebble, who we've talked about before. She's been a guest on this podcast before. So she organizes local events in Perth. There is enough of a player base there to get them going regularly. And so she organized a cup the next day in a game store nearby. And so a whole bunch of the people who just competed in the regional in Perth drove over for this cup. And so it's like, there may have been I don't know the stats, but there may have been the highest concentration of world championship qualifiers at this cup than in any other local tournament ever. And like, I felt bad for anyone who was like coming there to play for the first time because they're like matching against like Rick Flareon in round one and then like Avrip in round two.
Cool. How'd those locals go for you?
I came second in that one.
That's good.
And yeah, and it's like, it was cool because I got an extra 40 points there and that got me up to 105, which like I've done that all through just like three locals. But I was also a little bitter of like, well, why couldn't I do that yesterday? Like, mm-hmm. And because like I normally don't like to like brag about who I beat because like I feel like that's a bit rude and like it could have been like any sort of, like luck does play a factor in these games, so it's like even the smallest thing goes differently then I could easily lose that. But I think it is relevant in this story. Like I matched against Rick Flareon twice and got him both times, so like I knew like that was an indication to me that I am good enough, that I was up to standard. I just couldn't get it done on the day. In fact, you might have, I don't know if you saw the tweet I made that afternoon.
Yeah, you said something about like most of your losses are to Worlds qualified trainers.
Yeah. And like, so the last 10 losses that I'd had in Play Pokemon events were 1-2 losses, or I did say in the tweet, or 0-3, but I also had some 2-3s in winners and losers finals as well. So basically, I had never been swept. The only times I'd ever been swept in a Play Pokemon tournament were at the very first one in 2022 in Perth that I attended. If you take that out, then yeah, like literally never been swept in a tournament. And 9 of the 10 people that had beaten me in that run were world championship qualifiers, whether previously or future. In the case of like Claire, she's now qualified. She hadn't, she wasn't a world's qualifier at the time that she beat me, but she, you know, became one over the weekend. So that I kind of draw from that, that like, I'm like so close. Like I, like the more I go to these events and end up coming just short, the more I have to come to terms with, I am not at that top level. But the fact that I do get so close, and like I've had these situations, like I beat Claire on the Saturday and I beat Rick twice on the Sunday, like that shows me that I've got something going on. Like I've got skills. And I just need a little bit. I need to just add that extra 5-10% on top to get to that level where I can be like a Lyle who comes to a regional championship and like, no, this is just business. You know, this is in the bag. This is mine.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how many Aussies, like how many Oceania players are qualified now? Because you've got Yakko. Mm-hmm. Rick Flareon, Claire.
Yep. Averitt Vish has now qualified. Valiant Vish. Yusei Furu, who I mentioned last week in New Zealand, he's managed to qualify just through local tournaments. And that's like the general consensus among us in Oceania is like, it's a little bit icky that we can qualify through just local tournaments, but it's like it's allowing us to get the best in our region to Hawaii, and we'll take it. So like Yusei is someone that we all kind of agree is as good as it gets, and so we kind of don't mind that he, you know, didn't ever play in a regional, he just qualified through locals. And like It's nice that we've got that. We're very appreciative that they have adjusted the thresholds and the circumstances so that it has allowed people who are good enough to get there.
For sure. And I think it's a big part of that is you didn't have locals for the, yeah. Like, I think it would be very different if you had locals for the whole season or most of the season, like NA, EU, LATAM, but
yeah.
You were last, so I think it's fair then to have a little bit
of wiggle room.
Yeah,
And like it's also like for me, just to bring it back to me, which I often do. like I'm comfortable with the idea that like me not qualifying for, again, still a mathematical possibility, but like not qualifying for Worlds is all on me now. Like I can't blame the system. Anyway, like the opportunities were there and I have not been able to capitalize on them, so I'm kind of at peace with that, as at peace as I can be when you know, failing at something. But you know, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But you're still gonna go to Bologna, right?
Correct. Yes,
you got Bologna, like, and then do you have any more locals and cups and things you can do?
Yes, there is 2 more challenges and 1 more cup. So if I were to win all 3 of those, that would be worth 80 points. That would put me up to 185, which would mean that I am 65 points away from qualifying at that point. And like, I could maybe find a challenge or a cup like during my travels in Italy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe top myself up there. The main thing is like I want to get back to like a positive record at a regional. So I want to go at least 3-2. That's like my minimum, like the minimum that I would be happy with at this point is going 3-2.
That's a good goal. Moving right along though, we have India qualifiers that we can talk about. I've seen, again, I haven't seen any stream of it. I haven't seen a ton of records, but I've seen some talk of it on Twitter. on social media about the India qualifier. So for India, it's a little different. They are I think theirs is pretty similar. I think it's double elimination. They had their first qualifier. It had 256 participants, and 8 of those advanced to a playoff on April 27th. And then there's another India qualifier. There was 2 this weekend, and both of those kind of decided the double elimination playoffs that come on the 27th. Mm-hmm. So that'll be 16 players in the playoffs.
I recognize, I think, 3 names from the top qualifiers here. So in the first qualifier, Shagun Bora, I believe is how you pronounce that, and Mega Aman G. They both qualified. And then in the second one, someone we've talked about a reasonable amount, which is Vroom Vroom Pal. He was one of the, what were they, like 4 Sylph World champions?
Mm-hmm.
So he was one of them, obviously very well established, cracked battler, and he got there.
Yeah, so I think how they do in the playoffs determines if they are world qualifiers or not. Mm-hmm. So we will have to see how that all pans out, and we will keep y'all posted. It's not all, we get a lot of coverage for Latin America, even. We get a lot for North America, a lot for Europe, some for Latin America, hardly any for Australia and New Zealand. But the rest of the world, like all of APAC, we get very little coverage. So it's good to kind of get a little bit of a tidbit of what's going on in some of these other regions.
Also, really interesting looking at these like top 12 Pokemon for these qualifiers. So for that first one, there was 256 teams. And if I'm understanding this correctly, the most common Pokemon had 16% usage. What? Like, so the top Pokemon was Cresselia, which is a very highly used Pokemon in the West as well. But yeah, 16%, and then Galarian Stunfisk at second. Like that's something you never see in the West. You got Lantern in third, then Skarmory in fourth at 14.9%, 8% being Shadow. Then you've got the Shadow Gligar. Well, it's Gligar, but it looks like, if I'm reading this correctly, just over half of the Gligar used were regular, not Shadow. But yeah, like, it's super interesting how the meta is so different. Like, a lot of the usual culprits, you've got your Whiscash is there, but down at like number like 9, rather than like first or second, like we normally see. Altaria, Vigoroth, Talonflame, Azumarill is back up there. The second one looks a little bit more similar to what we're used to. We've got Lantern at 50% usage, then we've got Cresselia at 46%, Gligar, Skarmory, Altaria, and Vigoroth. Less teams, 101 players in the second one, as opposed to the first one being 256. So I find that very interesting that, number one, just what that top Pokemon chart looks like for number one, and then the fact that it's so different between the two qualifiers, being that the top Pokemon has only 16% in number one and the top Pokemon has 50% in number two.
Yeah. Also, you also have to look at the teams. The first qualifier had 256 teams, where the second one had less than half of that. Another thing to note as well, just because the Pokemon were popular doesn't mean that they were successful. So sure. I think in this first India qualifier, a lot of Pokemon that were used were unique, like one-off Pokemon, or only a couple people brought it. But the Pokemon that won, like the Pokemon that did well, it's the stuff you're seeing right now. It's Lickitung, Cresselia, Lantern, Chargebug, Skarmory. I see a Skeledirge. So I think the Pokemon that are succeeding are still pretty similar. You see a little bit of some different stuff, like that Shadow Sableye is a little different. You don't actually see a lot of Azumarill, so the Ace Lancelot doing well with Azumarill there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So it's just hit me. I thought these top 12 were Pokemon used across the entire qualifier, but this is just the top 12 Pokemon for like the top cut.
No. So, no? Okay. So you're looking, you had it right. So the two, so out of 256 teams, the 12 Pokemon, I'm looking at India qualifier one, Cresselia at 16%. That's across the 256 trainers.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
But now I'm talking about, like, now I'm looking at the ones that did well, which is those top eight for the Indian trainers that did well. And I'm arguing that while, yes, maybe the, it's kind of like the day one versus the day two usage on stream. Yeah. Like, the Pokemon that are popular, the Pokemon that are used by everyone, may be different, but I think the day two usage speaks a lot. And if you look at the kind of like the, like who won, I think those Pokemon are pretty standard and comparable to NA, EU.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So that is the Indian qualifiers. That is the weekend just past of Play Pokemon. What do we have coming up?
So this weekend is Sao Paulo in Brazil. That is April 20th and 21st. I haven't heard anything about like a community stream or anything coming out about that. But if there is one, we'll try to get as much information as we can next week when we talk about it. So interested to see how that is going to go. I believe that is a regional, not a special event. It is a regional event. So there'll be prizing for that as well. So very excited to see how that is going to go. We see a lot of trainers in Brazil, but what we're going to see upcoming is going to be a lot of trainers from all over Latin America. First up, though, we have Indianapolis. That's the one that I'm getting ready for. That's on May 4th. Starting to get quite a bit of traction. I think we're actually pretty well past 100 trainers at this point. 109 is actually my last check for Indianapolis. So we're getting large. I'd love to see it get past 128, but we're getting there. Then we have Stockholm. That's going to be on May 11th. And that is another regional tournament event in Sweden. So that will be coming up soon. I'm looking in the Play Pokemon event chat and I can see Mr. Nighttime Clasher will be there. So... because someone at like Lundberg or Amanda's like, are you going to be there? And he's like, yes. So we will see. Maybe he'll make another North American takes a European regional. That would be pretty exciting. But the last one I saw was about 73 trainers registered. That was on April 8th, which was quite a while ago. So maybe it'll get up to that like 128 mark. I know that they're capped at 256. So they could get quite a few more trainers if they wanted to. Then we have the Mexico City event. I am sure the registration is live. I am sure it is going to sell out. I have no doubt in my mind. The LATAM community is awesome. And then a bunch more. We have Santiago in Chile, May 18th to the 19th. Los Angeles is coming up. Registration for that in North America, it did open. If I take a peek for LA, last I saw it was about at 100. People registered. I bet we can get that past 128 as well. Then we'll have Lima, Peru, May 25th to 26th to close out the month of May. And then finally, that Bologna special event in June. And that'll be the last opportunity to earn championship points before NAIC. NAIC is going to be held June 7th to the 9th in New Orleans, Louisiana, in the United States. So be prepared for that. I've heard a lot of people are traveling for it. Lots of Europeans going to come try to take the crown. I heard even some people from Australia might be coming to NAIC. Nice. It's going to, and I'm sure, and Dune is going to be competing there. It's going to be quite the time.
Good luck if you plan to play any of those. Highly recommend. They are very, very fun. So that is Play Pokemon. Let's move on. It's our mailbag. So we have, I put four mails in the bag today. And the first one comes from Maxitron, who sent this in on Discord on the 17th of February. This is one that I kind of had set aside and forgot to include in our... So this is, wow, 2 months ago, geez. Maxtron talks about how you mentioned the we were talking about Battle Frontier teams and their names, and you were talking about SoCal Swablu, the Bad Batch, I think it was.
Yep.
So Maxtron messaged in after that to say, oh, I just remembered something about the naming teams thing you were talking about in PvP Corner. Bad Batch may be a reference to Star Wars Bad Batch, which, if that's the case, it's a misdirect. Clone Force 99 is intentionally different from normal clones, having superhuman abilities and being a very suicide mission elite squad of troopers. They're not liked by other clones for being so different, but they're super cool and got their own spinoff.
Oh, if that's the reference, then that's pretty neat. That's actually kind of cool.
Have you seen the Star Wars movies?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you? Why do you say it like that?
I don't know many people who haven't.
Oh, I know plenty. I know people who, like, it's funny because, like, whenever we're in a group setting and someone says, I haven't seen Star Wars, the rest of the group is like, what? You have to see it. And I'm like, don't push it. The more you push it, the more resistant they'll be, the more they'll deliberately not want to see it because they're being shamed for not having experienced this pop culture thing that so many of us have experienced. But are you deep into the Star Wars culture?
I would say I'm not. I definitely have seen the original, like the original trilogy, the next trilogy that came, you know, parts 1 to 3. And then I've seen several of the other kind of spin-off additional universe movies, but I wouldn't say that I'm like deep into it. It's a pop culture thing. I know a bit about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty much the same. So like I would not have had any idea about this Clone Force 99 situation. I would be keen to, maybe I'll just like message Dreyflames and be like, I don't think he's not on that team specifically, but he's part of SoCal Swablu in general. So, or maybe Sosaflow might know. Maybe, yeah, well, we might have an answer next week. No promises. So thank you, Maxtron, for sending that in. The next one is from ZPAC, who sent this in on the 16th of April. So pushing this one up. ZPAC says, hi, Fish and DeFi. Just listened to PvP Corner episode 163 and heard Fish working on buddy progress and battling the team leaders for battle hearts. You don't actually have to battle the leader fully. You can surrender and exit right away and you still get the credit. Hope this saves you and others some time. Best, ZPAC. And DeFi, you would not believe how many people have gotten in touch with me to say this.
They want to help you, Fish.
They want to help. I'm so appreciative, but it's so funny because it's like I've gotten like twice as many people messaging me about this as what I had people messaging me after that deeply personal story I told about my family. Like, so many people want to help me out with this piece of information, and it has been genuinely helpful. So thank you, ZPAC, and everyone else who has brought this up.
Our next piece of mail is Sarah Amanda, who wrote in on the 18th of March, who writes, I have a friend who loves PvP but gets frustrated with the randomness of GBL matchups. I think he might find the show 6 pick 3 format interesting or fun, but not sure what's a good place to link him to wherever or whatever about it. From Sarah Amanda. So, Sarah Amanda, there's a lot of different ways to get involved. I think my expertise right now is definitely more with the regional calendar and even just going to spectate an event or watching it on YouTube or Twitch, I think gets a good feel for the show 6 pick 3 format. And there is a lot of information on that, on locals, on Pokemon.com/compete, I believe is what I say at the end of all of those broadcasts, has a lot of information. You can click and then it'll take you to the Pokemon Go Championship Series and take you to all the links about that. But I was just going to events to spectate or even compete and just give it a shot is something I definitely would highly recommend to anybody interested in show 6 pick 3. Fish, I'll let you talk a little bit more about grassroots and maybe joining like your Discord to be able to get involved with that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. There's no information out there about like grassroots competitions. Like, you've got to, like, know someone who knows someone to get involved. Like, because, like, so Saramander and I had a quick chat about this on the Discord before. Like, I didn't actually answer the question properly, but we got some clarification. So she wasn't talking about, like, how can my friend get involved in Show 6 Pick 3. I think she was just talking more about, like, how do I show him what's possible? Like, how do I give him the information that he could use to get a little more out of his PvP? And so you made a great point with, like, maybe linking them to streams of previous regionals and, like, showing them, like, hey, this is what people do now. Like, if you want to get a little more out of your PvP, like, maybe think about competing. Here's a link to the event locator on the Pokemon website. But with Grassroots, it's like, there's nothing out there. Like, and I'm not sure that could necessarily be fixed either. It would probably take someone with a very high viewership, like and I don't even know how many PvP YouTubers there are left that have super high viewerships. I guess Zionic and Jonkus.
Home Slice Henry.
There's a few out there, but it would take someone very popular to make a definitive video on, hey, if you want to get more out of PvP, these are the competitions you can join. This is how you join them. Like, we could do it at Pallet Town, but, like, the viewership isn't quite there to actually get the word out about it.
So maybe if one thing you could do is, if you want to learn, just in general to listeners, if you want to learn more about, like, the Show 6 Pick 3 grassroots formats, you can definitely join the link in the show notes to go to More Fish and go to the Discord. And there's some people who could probably get you set up in there. But you're right, Fish. I would say there isn't, like, one central hub or one central person.
Yeah. There's right not, now. Like, an established doorway into grassroots PvP.
Definitely something that needs to get sorted.
Thank you to Saramander for that one. Our last email comes from Lemurio, who sent this in on the 31st of March. Hi, Fish and DeFi. Autocorrect thinks DeFi should be spelled Sphinx for some reason. Anyway, thought the GoCast community might appreciate the hilarity of a showcase I hit today. You can see in this screenshot, image attached, and I'm sending it to you now, DeFi.
Okay.
Nope, that is the wrong person.
They'll be confused.
Delete, delete, delete. So there's the screenshot. You can see in this screenshot attached that Cosmoem, the super dense star core designed to be Solgaleo, takes second as the biggest psychic type, breaking the Lugia dominance because it weighs like 4 tons and is less than an inch tall. You needed more email backlog, right? Inspiration abounds. Here's a topic. What weird details of Pokemon Go delight you? For example, I love that Guzzlord is too fat to fit on screen and Alolan Exeggutor is too tall. I love the walking animation for Spiritomb as a buddy, and I love that when you hit Drampa with charge moves, his eyes goggle out like he got the wind knocked out of him. There, now you have backlog. Fish, FYI, since you wanted feedback, I think your solo podcast was great. It's just like a different show than PvP Corner, and I appreciate the genuine reflection on your performance and the need to self-review at all. It's a nice, I'm not the only one comfort that everyone needs to hear, and it's brave to be open like that. May the Guzzlord be ever in your favor, Lemurio. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lemurio, for that feedback, and that is very funny that, yeah, Cosmoem is kicking all the Lugia's butts.
I really love that too. Thank you so much for sharing. That makes me smile. That makes me happy.
So for, like, little details about the game that you find funny or interesting or weird, can you think of anything?
Not without a lot of prep. I agree that Guzzlord, like, when you battle with it, it just doesn't fit. Same with kind of like Alolan Exeggutor just being kind of ridiculous when it's in a gym, or like a Wailord in a gym. It's just kind of like size details in Pokemon are really, really silly. This is just a fun detail that's not really a silly detail, but it's something I like. I think a lot of people don't realize that there are some Pokemon, when they make it your buddy, they fly and they're like really high above the screen, like Ho-Oh mm-hmm. and Lugia, Latios and Latias. I don't think a lot of people realize that. Like, I've walked around with my buddy out because I'm working on some of these legendaries and they're like, whoa, how'd you get it to do that? Yeah. And that's something that just, yeah. It makes me smile to see the Ho-Oh like flying off in the distance.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be really cool. I personally like get such a kick out of it. Might be one of those things, like there are occasionally like some things that just hit you in just the right way that you just find it hilarious, that like sometimes other people don't see it. And this might be one of those things where I just get a kick out of the way Trevenant walks onto the screen when you feed it as a buddy. So, like, there was a while where I was walking a Trevenant for, I think I was trying to get XLs for it. I mean, why else would I be walking it? But, so I'd send it out to feed it, and you'd press the button, and there'd be a pause. And it's like, Trev, you there? And then it would just kind of lumber out with its six little legs, like, all right, I'm coming. Just, like, plod into the middle of the screen, turn around and be like, all right, go. What do you want?
All right. I can't, I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything else that's like,
oh, you know,
like
what?
A fun, silly little thing.
The obvious one, Gunk Shot.
Gunk Shot is amazing.
The animation for that move is mint.
It is. So is Shadow Sneak.
Oh, is it really?
Or the one, the Giratina one?
Shadow right, Sneak or Shadow Force?
Shadow Force, that one. The one that's just silly.
What happens again? Because I haven't seen Shadow Force happen too often.
Hold on, let's find a gif of it. Because it's just kind of...
Actually, while you're finding it, speaking of Giratina, I want to give a shout out to Kawaii, who we traded our Origin Form Giratinas on the weekend in Perth. And one and done for me. We both managed to get our Giratinas under 1500, and so I double moved it straight away. 1490 CP.
Look at you.
Yeah, like rank 375 or something like that. Okay, you keep looking for that. I'm gonna get into our achievements.
It's fine. I'm just annoyed. Like, why would you?
I'm sure it's very funny. Thank you, Lemurio, for the email. Let's move on to our achievements. We have, in the Palutown server, Hisuian Ryan hit veteran, used that coaching feature that I talked about previously. We all jumped into a voice chat with him and kind of talked him through his battles and got that 4-1 he needed to get over the line. Well done to Ryan. We've got, in the GoCast server, Jay Engineer has hit legend, and Arkham has finished their seasonal research, the quickest that they've ever done in 45 days. DeFi, do you have anything to plug? Stop looking.
Stop looking and decide. No, I don't really have anything too much going on right now. I'm just getting really excited and ready for Indianapolis, which is coming up at the end of the month.
Cool. All
right,
cool.
Homeslice Henry, I believe in you. You're not going to do me wrong. You're going to actually use the move. I believe.
Stop.
Okay.
And I guess for me, we haven't set a date yet, but keep an eye out for notifications about the Master League Premier Complete Breakdown. So if you're a follower of Lyle's Twitch channel as well, we're going to experiment with Twitch guest star. This is kind of maybe unnecessary to talk about, but one of the features of that product is that it'll notify all of Lyle's followers that he's live on the Palutown channel to talk about this. So, like, yeah, there's different ways you can, you know, get notified. You could also go to the Palutown YouTube channel, where we will have eventually have a thing up in the upcoming streams section. You can click notify me on that. So I think that's going to be pretty popular. There's a lot of people really excited for Master League Premier to be a thing again.
I am one of those people who is very excited. I did send it to you.
Yes.
Okay. It's just silly.
It's like it. spirals into the ground and then is like, whoop, I'm here, bang, flies into your face.
Whoop. I like just the shwoop into the sky. It's so silly.
Worth it.
I'm like, I gotta show you because it's like it's a silly little thing.
Yep, and it does answer the question. So thank you for showing that to me. And with that, we love hearing your feedback. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi, you can direct your feedback to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO Box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO Box address. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And also don't forget to have a listen to the other two shows on this podcast feed, the main GoCast podcast to get news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go, and the newest addition to the family, Star Piece, where Chris and Lachlan fairly recently interviewed Archaic from Bulbapedia, the webmaster of Bulbapedia, and also I've got an episode there too that was released on April 1st. And with that, we'll see you next week.